Help us to do that. Give us that passion in our heart to please you, just as Jesus Christ demonstrated with you, Father. We ask for that desire in our hearts, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. A little different this morning, I'd like to share a bit of how God has worked over the many years. God's been working in this church long before we came to being. And that's what I would like to share with you this morning. And yes, today is a very special day. It's a day that we have come together to dedicate this, our first building, to the Lord. And we honor Him, not just for our faithfulness in having this building, but most importantly, for His faithfulness to lead us, to guide us, and to provide even before this church began. Our history actually began 25 years ago in 1990 with the belief that God would plant a church somewhere in the Neshota area. Then from 1996 to 1998, this belief intensified as a growing group of people became frustrated with the growing wider but not deeper approach many churches were taking. These families stressed God's leading to plant a church where the Word of God was actually important, where the whole counsel of God would be taught, including the difficult issues that many churches, for some reason, refrained from speaking on. Brothers and sisters, the reason why the whole counsel of God must be taught is that sin must be dealt with. It has to be identified. This is what brings honor and glory to God. Not only speaking the truth, but exposing heresy, false teachers, false teachings. That's what God's church is supposed to do. In order to be a light, in order to be a beacon, truth must be proclaimed, and that truth is very often criticized and rejected because it's uncomfortable and even offensive. That's what these families envisioned. The Lord brought a small group together on Father's Day, June 21st, 1998, at the home of one of our founding families, Rod and Margie Barnett. Yes, God was faithful to the vision He planted in the hearts of these people 8 years earlier. I still remember that first service, that first day. Rod had asked a few people to come to his house at 10:30 to pray, have a Bible study, and see what God would do. There were six of us that morning: Rod and Margie, Nancy and Gary Holte, and Elena and myself. As we sat there, we're looking at our watches, and we see it's 10:30, and wondering, where is anybody? Somebody. And there was nobody. And so we decided we're going to begin. As soon as we began praying, we were interrupted by the doorbell, and the doorbell, and the doorbell. And within a few minutes, that whole living room was filled with people. And we had our first service. By August, we outgrew Rod's living room, and so he went to Country Christian School. At the time, that was its name. And he asked if we could meet there for a while. And they were very gracious to us. God has blessed us in so many ways over the years. They agreed to let us meet there for 3 months, rent-free, to see if we would continue meeting, if we truly would become a church, and then they would talk about rent. This particular verse became very important to those families at that time. I'd like to share that with you, Isaiah 43:19. For I am about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. Yes, God was faithful to do something new. What I would also like to add to God's faithfulness is that even before He put this church on the hearts of those faithful families in 1990, He put the call on my heart to become a pastor in 1981. Little did Elena and I know that God's call would take us from our roots, our home in New York, to Illinois, where we would go to school, and then to Wisconsin to eventually become the first pastor of this church. Yes, God is faithful. See, it's wonderful to look back and you see the hand of God, how he orchestrates everything and how he's faithful to carry it through. And both the Old and New Testaments affirm God's faithfulness. This is what was said to the Israelites in Deuteronomy 7:9. Know therefore that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God. He is God, the faithful God, who keeps his covenant and his loving kindness to a thousandth generation with those who love him and keep his commandments. Paul also in the New Testament wrote to Corinth. He said this in chapter 1, verse 9. God is faithful. God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And I maintain that the only thing we really need to know is God is faithful. God is faithful. He's faithful because that's part of his very being. The dictionary defines faithful as true or trustworthy in the performance of duty, the fulfillment of promises or obligations, and as worthy of belief or confidence. In the Old Testament, faithfulness means firmness, security, steadiness. It has the key idea of certainty. Certainty. Vine's Bible Dictionary adds that it exhibits God's character as worthy of the love and confidence of man and assures us that he will certainly fulfill his promises as well as execute his threats against sin. In the New Testament, the word for faith most often used is pistis. It means to believe, to be worthy of belief. And since the belief we're called to is a total commitment of the whole self to God, yes, a total commitment of the whole self towards God, it follows that God's faithfulness means that he is worthy of receiving our total commitment. Well, the story of God's faithfulness with our church didn't end with those early stages. In 2004, and I read you that letter from the elder board to the congregation, this 11-acre cornfield we're now meeting on was put up for sale, and God put it on our hearts to purchase it for a future church. I remember Tom Rod and myself walking onto the cornfield at that time as we prayed for God to bless the land and make a way for us to build a church there. A church that would preach God's word and be a light to the community. However, it was clear at the time that a building was not in the immediate plans for us. We didn't have the money to build one, and it didn't appear that we could raise the money either. And second, this land was in the village of Shaniqua, and it was apparent at that time that it would be very difficult to get a church built. We learned then that even though God gives you the burden to do something, as he gave us the burden to build a church, that it was not in his timing for us to do so then. You know, there's times when people feel the tug of God, the call to do something. He gives us a burden. He gives us a passion. And you could taste it. You could feel it. He wants us to do something for him, but it doesn't always happen right away. And that's what I want to encourage us with this morning, not to get discouraged, not to walk away from the call because what God put on your heart didn't come through at the time you thought it should. And I've come to learn over the years, because this has happened to me many times, God has given me the burden or the passion to prepare me for when the time would be right. It takes time to learn these things. It takes time to learn. That's when we learn that faithfulness goes two ways. Not only is God faithful to us, But brothers and sisters, he expects us to be faithful to him. Faithfulness is actually a fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness. Faithfulness. If the Holy Spirit is actually working in the hearts of believers, a fruit of faithfulness to God will come out. And that's what God demands from us as his children. The New Testament speaks of the faithfulness of Paul, of Abraham, of Moses. In the Gospels, Jesus often spoke of those who had faith. The centurion soldier, a man of great faith, a Samaritan woman, a woman of great faith, weren't even God's chosen people, but they exhibited the character and the faith God was looking for and is still looking for in his people. Great faith. When Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus and Colossae, he spoke of that very issue, faithfulness. This is what he said in Colossians 1, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are at Colossae. That's what I want him someday to say about this church. Don't you? Don't you, as members of this church, don't you want God to say, that's a faithful church down there. They proclaim my word, the truth, the whole counsel of my word. They're faithful to sharing about me. They love one another. That's the kind of church that God is proud of, as 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians tell us so clearly. Faithfulness. Faithfulness. Faithfulness includes waiting on God's timing. I think of Abraham. God promised him a seed, a son. Through him, through that seed, all the families of Israel would grow. And Abraham had to wait 25 years for that to happen. God called me to be a pastor, and I had to wait 17 years for that call to actually take place. How many times I could have just walked away from that? How many times could you have walked away from being faithful to what you knew God wanted you to do and you stayed the course? Like Paul said, I run the race. I run the race. I pursue the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. It takes a faithful heart to live a life that wants to bring God glory through the faithfulness we exhibit while we're alive and breathing. From about 2006 to 2013, God was silent. You know, I kind of got a feeling of what the silent years were like between the Old and New Testament. God was silent about the land and the building. Never heard a word, not a peep. It's almost as though they didn't exist. And you know what? We were content with that. And I say that to this church's credit. Even though it seemed like God forgot about the land, and so did we. So did we. But in that interim, he raised up two great places for us to have services. We met for 8 years right down the block at Country Christian School. And then after that, we went to Lake Country School until October 4th, 2015, where we met. And I have to say, both schools treated us tremendously. We couldn't have been placed in a better places than with those places. And we have prayed for them often. And thank God for them. Then the housing crunch hit, as you would remember, and real estate values went through the basement. They dropped tremendously, and there were some great buys out there. That stirred our hearts, and we decided to look around, see if there was a buy for us, see if we could buy a building that was already done or something we could work with, something that was affordable that we could purchase. We didn't realize it at the time, but that stir on our hearts was God's faithfulness to come back here to this land. We looked at all kinds of buildings. Oh, it was a busy time. Most of you don't know all of this. We looked and looked and looked, and for one reason or another, everything fell through. And we decided, well, let's go back to the look. Let's look at the land again. But I have to be honest with you. One of the reasons we didn't want to go back and look at the land was we didn't forget how difficult it was the first time around. We had to go to Chiniqua. Now, I'm not bad-mouthing anybody. I'm just telling you the truth. Well, we decided, we prayed, and we said, okay, God, we're going to go back to the village, and we're going to see what happened. And hallelujah, this is just how God works. You see, when his timing's there, things just start falling into place. The village was very receptive. They were very good to work with. And Neshota was right by our side all the time. Rich Lartz, the village president, attended many of those meetings with us on our behalf. And we were able to detach from Shaniqua and be attached to Neshota so we could hook up to the sanitary district because we needed sewer. And so that started falling into place. And then as we began working with the village of Neshota, we had to come to agreement with the conditional use permit. And I have to say, I don't think it could have been better. It was very, very good conditional use permit. God was faithful all the while, sometimes when we didn't even realize it. Yes, apparently God's timing was right. Then we started the process to design a building that would both be affordable and able to meet our needs. And I have to share with you that even when you know you're doing what God wants, things don't always go well. Sometimes there's more obstacles when you're doing what God wants than when you do what you want. Sometimes things are out of control, and sometimes we cause our own problems. You know, we rushed our first presentation through to the congregation. We were so eager to find out how much we could raise so we could know what kind of a building we could design that we did not do a good job of preparing the congregation, and the results were not good. So we apologized. And we did a much better job the second time around, and the results were very positive. We actually raised all the money we needed through the pledges to begin the project. Now, I have to tell you, at that point, as I was sensing in my own heart, I just want to speak for myself. I believe from day one God wanted us to put a church on this land. But being human, I struggled with doubt. And when we got to that actual pledge part, when we sent out the pledge cards, it was a real test of my own faith. I was doubting that the money would come in. You see, we made a promise to the congregation that we were not going to throw ourselves into unaffordable debt just to have a building. We promised the congregation that our mortgage payment would be no more than the rents we were paying. And so we knew we had to raise a certain amount of money in order to make that possible. And hallelujah, it came in. The pledges came in, the figure we needed. God was faithful working through you. God used you. That's why this is our church. This is our project, because we're one body. We're one. Everyone working together in order to make things happen. And the beautiful part about God's faithfulness that I don't think you quite understand as a young believer, but as you go through life and you experience and you taste God's goodness, God's faithfulness, you come to realize that faithfulness is not just something he does, it's who he is. It's part of his intrinsic being. In the same way that God is love, God is also faithful. He's faithful. His faithfulness means that his promises do not change. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man, so he does not lie. He's not human, so he does not change his mind. Has he ever spoken and failed to act? Has he ever promised and not carried it through? Because faithful is who God is, his character does not change. Malachi 3:6. For I, the Lord, do not change. I, the Lord, do not change. We read this verse a little earlier, James 1:17. Whatever is good and perfect comes down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in heaven. He never changes. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. Because God is faithful, his truth does not change. Isaiah 40, verse 8. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. This is why God's word is so important. This is why God's word needs to be read by his children every single day. Because it's living, it's active, it's sharper than a two-edged sword. It doesn't change. Many things in this world are unpredictable, unreliable, but God's word will never change. It will never pass away. That is why God's people must know God's word, must believe God's word, must stand on God's word, must claim God's word. We are the light bearers, and we ought to give honor and glory to God by proclaiming his word, the truth, to those who are lost. That's what pleases God. It doesn't change. Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth will pass away, Jesus said, but my words will not pass away. And brothers and sisters, because God is faithful, his purpose does not change. Psalm 33:11, the counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart from generation to generation. I've come to learn over the years how unpredictable man is, how unpredictable I am, how things change in my life, how even my thoughts change. And yet I could go to God's word because I know nothing changes with him. He's as faithful now as he was then, and he will be as faithful tomorrow as he is today. Hallelujah. That's why we're here, to praise him for his faithfulness. When we study his word, we see that he has never failed in the past. He was always faithful to his word as he worked in the lives of the Israelites. Pray for Israel. My goodness, the trouble, the turmoil that they're going through right now. And they are the apple of God's eye. We must never forget that. And yes, the church has not replaced Israel. God has a plan for Israel. He will bring it to fruition after we're taking out of here. When he said he would do something, he did it. This builds trust in his faithfulness. That's what he was teaching us through how he ministered to the Israelites. As we look back on our own lives, as I look back on my life, I could see God's faithfulness in my own life. Never failed. Oh, yes, we fail. We fail God from time to time. We do. But because he's such a faithful God, he allows us to come to him and confess our sins. And because he's faithful, he cleanses us from unrighteousness and he restores us back into fellowship with him. One command God often gave the Israelites was basically all in wrapped up in one word, and it was remember. Remember. When they remembered all God did for them, they could more easily trust him, not only for today, but also for tomorrow. And we too need to remember that God is a faithful God who will do all that he says. And this same God, this God who's faithful to hear our prayer, to provide for our needs, to work out all things for the good to those who love him, he wants us to demonstrate this same kind of faithfulness. Hebrews 11:7. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Yes, we can rest in God's faithfulness even when circumstances seem to contradict the very call of God. Because we know that in those times when the dust seems to be churning and we're in some sort of turmoil, that God could be doing a miracle, because he's a faithful God. He's got a plan for us, and it's a good one, a plan to bring us a future and a hope, because he is a faithful, faithful God. As I look back, as we close, and I see God's faithful hand on this church, I have to tell you what I believe in so strongly. I believe with all my heart, brothers and sisters, the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. And the stronger we stand together in faith to our Lord God, to honor Him, to serve Him, and to spread the word, God will do mighty things because He is a mighty God, a God of miracles. With God, all things are possible. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you. We thank you for your faithfulness to this church, even before it began, Lord. It's amazing as we look back and see your hand. And we're here this morning to praise you for that, Lord. And I pray that we would do that not only on special occasions, but every day of our life. We would give thankfulness in our prayer, in our daily prayers, because you are deserving of our praise and honor, because you are a faithful God. As Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, our God is faithful. Father, work in our hearts. Work in our hearts that our desire, our great desire, would be to please you. And in so doing, Lord God, I know you will bring about new things in our lives and in our communities as we seek to bring you honor and glory. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray this. Amen. Amen.